To tell y'all a little minor testimony. It's a little bitty minor one. How many of y'all come to Tuesday night Bible study? Oh, the rest of you missed it. You should have been here Tuesday night at Bible study. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, things happen on Tuesday night at Bible study, 7 to 9. But last Tuesday night, there was a dear couple walked in that door. Almost the first ones here. They walked in, a little lady and a little man, elderly couple. And he walked in, he said, "Brother, I'm 77 years old." Deborah, you were already here, weren't you? Yeah, you were here, you got to see it. He said, "Brother, I'm 77 years old. 2.5 months ago, we came from Hobbs, New Mexico to one of your healing schools." He said, "I came up and I asked you, do you think God can heal dyslexia?" And I said, "Sir, God can do anything." Amen. He said, "Well, I've only had it 77 years. I was born with it. I can't read." He said, "When I look at things, everything's out of order. So I've never been able to see, so I've never been able to read because of the way my eyes are. I got this dyslexia problem." I said, "The King I serve, sir, can do anything." And I rebuked that demon, prayed for that man's healing. He said, "Sunday, a week ago, he was steady." I told him, I said, "Now that I prayed for you and prayed this prayer of faith for you, all you got to do is worship and praise the King for your healing. That's all you got to do. Stand on his word." He said, "Sunday, a week ago in church out there in Hobbs, New Mexico, they had the words on the screen like we do. And he said, I looked up, and for the first time in 77 years, I could read them." He said, "I could read them." He said, "I didn't tell anybody. I just thought, wow." And so he said, "We went to dinner that day, and we walked into a restaurant, and I thought, I have never seen the crystal and everything so beautiful, and I could read the menu. First time in his life." And he said, "We got home. And when we got home, I told my wife of 53 years, whatever it was." He said, "I told her, said, honey, God has healed my eyes. I can read. I can see." Said she went berserk and run in and got the Bible, handed it to me and said, "Let's see you read it." And she said, "I got the Bible out and I could read it perfect." Amen. Wasn't that awesome time? Woo! And then she said, 3 weeks ago, we were moving some stuff, and I hurt my left wrist, and it's been hurting ever since." And she said, "We have tried. We have prayed. My husband and I have listened to your CDs and DVDs, and my husband has prayed for me over and over and over, but the pain is still here." And she said, "I said, it's time to go see Therma." Now, they only live in Hobbs, New Mexico. So they drove down here for Tuesday night Bible study. Do you think God hears our dedication? She said, "Will you pray for me?" I reached up and put my hand on that wrist. I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus." And bam, the King instantly healed her. Woo! I mean, you talk about some little miracles. We got to see them Tuesday night at Bible study. And then we had a precious lady that was sitting right over here. She said, "I've got to tell you what's happened to me." She come in during all of this. She said, "I have been down in the bed for the last 10 years with vertigo. Can't get out of the house." She said, "I heard about your ministry. I called, and they give me some young woman by the name of Sharon." There she sits right there. Said, "Sharon prayed the prayer of faith for me, and God instantly healed my 10 years of vertigo." And she said, "I'm here today. I flew in from Midland, and I drove a car from the airport to here, and I'm driving, and I just had to come to church." Amen. Praise the King. Does Jesus do wonderful things? Do we serve an awesome God? He's beyond our wildest dreams, isn't he, Ernest? The King. Oh, glory. If you missed Tuesday night Bible study, you missed all of that. Look at that Bible study again this Tuesday night. Who knows what God's going to do this Tuesday night? Well, we have Bible study every Tuesday night. But 7 till 9. Then we have church every Sunday, 2 to 4. And then next Saturday from 1 to 5, we have another one of those healing schools. You know, and we're going to get to see Jesus do some more things. Just think, that 77-year-old man, or even the woman, Sharon, 10 years she had been down in the bed with vertigo. And she wasn't an old woman either. She was just a middle-aged woman. I don't know how old she was. You think she's that old? 50s? Okay, 50s, okay. But anyway, 10 years down with vertigo, and all it took was a person of faith to pray the prayer of faith. Now then, it's awesome to see God do these wonderful things.
And faith on his part. He stood on God's word for 2.5 months.
Yeah.
2.5 months he kept saying, I received what I've asked for, Dad. In that 2.5 months, are you praising and worshiping God? Yeah, he got it.
Amen. Now then, many of you have helped the ministry with on this deal with Christ Haven, these children that Cheryl is working with, and she is working diligently night and day with these kids. And she said a while ago that already our car is full of gifts today. And I don't know where all she's going to put all these, but the ministry center is rapidly getting full too, praise the Lord. Our den is getting full, but we got 120 people this year to minister to. So God is doing something awesome. So I'm going to let Cheryl, my lovely honey bunny here, tell you a little bit about these things that we need and she needs and that the Lord needs.
That's right. We're also having a Christmas party, a church Christmas party, December the 29th, Friday, over at Marlene Mitchell's house from 7 to 10. And there's a sheet over there. Be sure you get that and come to the party. Always good food and, you know, good fellowship and everything. Okay, I had a great week. I had a fabulous week. Tuesday I went and spoke to Ambucks, and I think they're going to give me $1,000, and a few men gave me $325. And Ron Stacy, who owns Stacy Furniture in Grapevine, said, oh, Cheryl, I got a few gifts at the store. You need to come by and get them. I said, okay, I'll come by and get them. So I go the next day to pick them up. No, maybe I went that day, I guess. I went with Christy to pick them up. And I said, Christy, I may need your help over here. And she says, okay. Well, we were going to go shopping. That was the whole idea. We were together. We were going to shop for the kids. I get there, and they had so many toys and gifts that it filled up my whole Suburban to the top, and it filled all the back seat of Christy's car. Well, I just started crying. I was just so overwhelmed that I just had no idea that all the employees had gone out and bought gifts for children. And so he gave them all to us. Okay, then he says, call me tomorrow, and I'll have some things for Open Arms, because we're also doing the Women's Battered Shelter. And we're buying them gifts, and they also need household goods. So I call him the next day, and he says, yeah, I got a couple of couches, some end tables, some lamps. He said, what else you need? And I said, well, I need this, 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 and this. And he says, okay, well, come on down here and meet me. Anyway, we didn't get to meet, but I was just so overwhelmed, just people are just calling me, people I don't know, they're emailing me, and they're just asking how can they help. So far, with the money that I've gotten, I think I've gotten around $19,000 in cash, and we've gotten about $9,000 in gifts and $4,000 in product and, you know, $3,000 in furniture. I don't know. Anyway, I think it's around $33,000. God is really, really moving. Thank you, Jesus. But our biggest need is gift wrappers. Please, if you're not coming to the Healing School Saturday, come to the Ministry Center. Kathy and Sharon are going to have a gift wrapping party for Jesus starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we'll go till, Kathy said, till you're finished. So you may be there for several days. Because there are gifts everywhere. And of course, we still have the open arm gifts, because I'm having to keep them separate, because we have to deliver the open arms to, they get their stuff secretly, and so, which is understandable. But anyway, God's just wonderful. So if you can help in any way with gifts, with gift wrapping, with money, with going and buy something, I've got a list over there of what's left to buy for both Christ Haven and for open arms. So if you can help in any way, please, please, please do it. And thank you for blessing everybody, too.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Huh? Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's get into the Word right quick. I want to start with Job 33:14. Job 33:14. I want to show you something here. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the revelation, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that you give me. Now, Lord, let me pass this on to others so they can get it, so people can understand what brings them to a place of living in a time that's not the abundant life. Because you come to give us life and give it to us abundantly. But I've come to realize we have to do it your way and nobody else's to walk there. So help reveal that to us, Father, as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 33:14. But God speaks again and again. Now this is, I'm reading this to you out of the NLT. Now let me explain something to you about hearing from God. God speaks to us through our spirit. From His spirit to ours, which communicates with our mind. Now that is like a thought that comes to you. That's God speaking to you. Now the enemy can do the same thing. He'll speak to your man and make you think. So your mind gets inputs from three sources. Your mind gets inputs from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit to your spirit, which comes to your mind, puts a thought in your man. The devil, he can put thoughts directly in your mind and give you a thought also. So you have to be able to discern which of the two voices is talking to you, and then you have your own thoughts. And then, of course, God will speak to you from His Word, and then God will speak to you in that authoritative or audible, powerful voice, and when you hear that, you won't never be the same. But He speaks to us in all these ways. But let me give you an example. Last week, I had a furnace over in one of our buildings that quit working. I went over there and checked it and found out it had a code that was flashing on the computer, and I didn't know what the code was. So I came back to the house and I looked all over for my book. Couldn't find it. I called the company I bought it from. They didn't have one. I went onto the internet and looked on the web at the name of the company. It says, we have these codes that you can give to a contractor and they can repair your heaters quickly and easy. I thought, well, give me a list of the codes. I need to know what they are. So I am almost getting to the point I'm frustrated, but I'm not going there because I know what happens when you grumble and complain. And so I ain't going there. Ain't going no grumbling and complaining on this part. I'm praising the King. And about this time, Dave Rosenfeld walked in to my office. He said, Thurman, how's things going? And I said, well, Dave, I got this heater broke, and I know I got a code book somewhere. I don't know what I've done with it. I've called everybody, and I can't get these codes. He said, my pastor would say, have you prayed about it yet? You know what that made me feel like, Ernie? Especially since I'm his pastor. I said, okay, Lord, forgive me. I've tried to do all this on my own. I said, Father, forgive me. I said, in the name of Jesus, Father, I need to know where that code book is. Thank you for it. Bam!
Wow.
Instantly, he told me exactly where it was. I said, excuse me, Dad. We got it, walked up, walked around into the house, walked into a place, pulled it up, and there it was, right there.
Wow.
Now, I thought, all the time, the King sitting there saying, why didn't you ask? You do stupid things like that once in a while, do you? Oh, Lord. I mean, when Dave said, my pastor would say, pray, have you prayed about it yet? I thought, how dumb can I be? I mean, I teach the Word. I mean, I read the Word. And then I fail to ask the one who knows everything. I'm trying to do this all on my own, and it never works. But the minute I asked Him, His Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit, which spoke to my mind, and in my mind, a thought came to my mind, and I knew exactly where that book was at. I just got up and went up there and pulled the book out, and there it was. There's the code. No problem. We run back down there, check the little item. Sure enough, that's what it was, and bam, we get it going just like that. I thought, man, you know, if we would all learn to talk to God and listen to Him and put Him first in everything, He wants to help you. But we fail to ask Him. But what's so devastating is when one of your people that says, you know, my pastor would say, have you prayed about it yet? Oh, no. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for iron sharpening iron. I need these men. Like Dave said, when I'm up here, he said, you're under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and you say all the things you're supposed to say. When you get out there with me, he said, you're just out there just like the rest of us. Oh, me, Lord, help me to walk in the anointing all the time. That's where we need to walk, isn't it? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, but look what he says. But God speaks again and again through people, though people do not recognize it. Now, see, he talks to you. He puts thoughts in your mind, and you don't recognize it's God trying to tell you something. But he says right here, but God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams. Anybody in here ever had a dream? Sure, we all do. We have dreams. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He speaks to you. Now, have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you had a tormenting dream that just rocked you? You need to stop and think, what is God trying to tell me here? He's trying to scare me into changing something I'm doing wrong. I'm doing something wrong. What are you trying to tell me, Lord? Instead of saying, wow, I had the most awful dream last night. Whoa. You need to stop and think. That's God. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to talk to you. Or you might have had a wonderful dream last night. That was God. He was trying to talk to you. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to warn you. The Scripture says He speaks in dreams and visions of the night. I tell you, one of the most awesome things is those visions in the daytime. I've had visions in the daytime. I've had God show me. I mean, open visions. I've had the Lord show me how to build and design equipment and fix things that nobody else could fix. I've prayed and asked Him and seen these things materialize right before my very eyes. I mean, with God, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make a statement to you that everything we have that we enjoy, some man of God prayed and God gave them a dream or a vision or spoke to them in their spirit. And everything you enjoy today that's here for your comfort and to bless you was given to some man of God. It was not given to just any man. That information was given to a man of God. Now, once men of God get these things and build and design these things, other people may be able to take them and make changes to them, and some of them will make them worse, and some of them may make them a little better. But God is the one that gives us this information. He's the one that knows this stuff. He says, He whispers in their ear and terrifies them with warnings. He whispers in your ear. You're out running around, messing around with some woman, and you hear a little voice in your ear say, you better not do that. You better stop that. Let me go out with the guys and get drunk tonight. A little voice says, you better not go with them. You're not going to enjoy the benefits. But you don't believe it. You go anyway. That's just like this lovely couple sitting right here. The other night, they told me after I was talking about hearing God's voice, he told me a story about how a few years ago, whenever they were out putting some gas in a car for a lady, and he was standing between her car and the van, and then their van was behind that van, and his wife stayed in the car. And he said, I'm standing between the car, and the Spirit spoke to me and says, get out from between the two cars. So he said, man, I moved off to the side. At the same time, his lovely bride heard back there in the van, get out of the car. So she gets out of the car and walks out into the median, and then she's standing out here in the median, and all of a sudden she starts rationalizing, what am I doing out here? What am I doing out here? So she goes back, opens the door on the driver's side to get in because the van's sitting on the left side of the highway, And she gets in when she does. As soon as she gets in, sits down under the seat, the Spirit says, at least don't get on the passenger side. So she said, that was so clear. I thought, what's going on? And all of a sudden, a drunk going 85 miles an hour hits the van in the rear end, dead on. The toolbox that was in the back goes right over the seat, head of the, right over the seat of the passenger side where she was, would have tucked her head off, went right in through the windshield, right out and into the van in the next one behind them, but it still broke her neck. Now see, her husband was obedient. He heard the voice get out in between the two cars, and he got out here and he obeyed that voice. She first obeyed that voice. She got out, and then she goes to rationalizing God's voice because nobody ever teaches us how to listen and hear the voice of God. We don't know where these thoughts are coming from. So she thought, this is just a thought that come to me. So when she gets back in, she hears that again, that Spirit say, at least don't get on the passenger side. And she sits right there. When that car hits, that drunk breaks her neck. They take her to the hospital, check her neck. It's broken. Everybody begins to pray. Now, you talk about the mercy of God after He's warned us. He told her what to do, and she's still disobedient. He knows. Everybody began to pray for her. The next morning, she felt so good, she could move her neck. They'd done an x-ray again, and guess what the king had done for her overnight? There she sits, right there with her hand waving. She didn't have a broken neck no more. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, do we serve an awesome Jesus? Does He talk to us? Yes, He does. We need to learn to hear this voice. You need to learn to hear this voice. When those thoughts come, I mean, if those thoughts are there to protect your life and for you to do things, listen and obey. Now, if it's the wrong voice, it says, oh, you need to do something bad. You know, Keith, you need to get mad at the guy down the street. You don't want to listen to that voice, do you? You know where that beast comes from, right? That's the wrong one. Hey. You don't listen to those things. You listen to the ones that edifies your person that you're with and that glorifies God. Because that's God speaking to you. The enemy, he'll speak to you. He'll put you to the test. He'll do everything he can. Then he says, after he whispers in our ears and he terrifies us with warnings, he causes them to change their minds. Now, sometimes people change their minds. Sometimes they don't change their minds. You know, if you don't change your mind, if you've been terrified with a dream or him whispering in your ear and telling you something, sometimes when he whispers in your ear, it'll be just like he did with this couple right here. Who can imagine? You're sitting there putting gas in the car, and all of a sudden the thought comes to your mind, get out from between the two cars. You know, I remember one night when I was building my house out there where I live. I was building the house and I was putting shingles on it, and it was 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and it was a beautiful moonlight night. I mean, it was so beautiful, clear sky, so bright and everything. I'm up there in the dark without any kind of a light putting shingles on and working on that house because I'm building that house by myself at night and on weekends, not on Sunday, but I built that house just me and God, basically. But I did a lot of it at night and outside like that in the moonlight. And I'm just going along there putting shingles down then. I'm nailing them things down. I'm putting them nails in and doing everything. I'm just going along. And all of a sudden, the Spirit says, bow down before me and pray. And I thought, God, what is this? I don't understand what's happening. And then the Spirit spoke to me and said, bow down before me and worship me and praise me because someone has a gun pointed directly at you. Man, I just trembled. I just fell down. I laid my hammer down. I lay down flat as I could right on the peak of that roof. And I said, Lord, I worship you. I praise you and I thank you. And I know that nobody can harm me because I'm walking in obedience to your word. I know nobody can hurt me. And I must have lay there and praised Him and worshiped Him for about 10 minutes. Maybe 15. I don't know. Time gets by. And all of a sudden He says, it's okay now, son. You can go back to work. So I sat up and I looked around and I thought, God, what is going on? So I went ahead and started nailing and working again. But let me tell you, I was talking a whole lot more to Jesus the rest of the night than I did the first part of the night. I don't know what was going on out there in the spirit world. I don't know what was happening. But I know he knew what was happening, and I knew something was going on. It's just like one night, I was sitting out there working on my house, and all of a sudden, I felt the most eerie feeling. I thought, God, that's the same feeling I had that night. I said, what is this? And all of a sudden, I looked to my right, and there's a little tiny red dot right beside me on the side of the house. I thought, what is that? I never seen that. And I reached over and put my finger on it. When I did, the red light was on me. And then I put my hand up and it was there. And I looked and I could do this. And that red light was coming from a quarter of a mile away. Somebody was shooting at me with a laser. Now, was that a laser sight on a gun? What was that? I immediately came against that thing in the name of Jesus. And in a matter of seconds, the light was gone. But it was way out in the pasture. There was somebody out there, obviously, with a laser sight night gun. And that light was within inches of my body. You know, when God speaks to you, when he shows you something, listen. It'll save your life. He says here, learn to listen to the Spirit. He loves you. He's talking to you. He's trying to get your attention. He's warning you. Listen to me, my children. And then he says, he causes us to change when he speaks to us and when he terrifies us with his warnings. He keeps us from pride. You don't want to go to pride. Pride will drive the Spirit of God a long way from you. Humble yourself before God. You don't want to get into pride. Definitely as far as you can. He keeps them from the grave. He keeps you from the grave, from crossing over the river of death. Well, let me tell you, how many people today don't listen to that voice? How many people die early? Multitudes of them. God is warning them. He's sending people to you. He may send a man or a woman to you, and that man or woman may say, you know, you're not doing things right. You need to change. You need to stop doing this. The person says, I don't believe this junk. I don't believe this. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't believe in that old book. You say, this is in the Bible. That's just an old book. Somebody wrote that old book. Let me tell you, God is alive and well. He is a very alive and well. Then he says, listen to this verse 19. After he's spoken to you, after he sent dreams and visions, after he's done everything to warn you and you didn't listen, then he said, God disciplines people with sickness and pain. Who did that? God disciplines people with sickness and pain, with ceaseless aching in their bones. They lose their appetites and do not care for even the most delicious food. Who's doing this? Isn't that amazing? They waste away through skin and bones. Have you ever seen anybody like that in the hospital? You ever seen anybody just wasted away? Wasn't nothing left but skin and bones? See, he had already tried to get their attention with dreams. He's talking to them. He's speaking to them. He's telling them. He's terrifying them with dreams. He's whispering in their ear, you need to get right with me. And we don't listen. And after we don't listen to none of that, then it says, after you refuse to listen, after I told you to forgive your brother from your heart, I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive her. He says, oh, I even sent a preacher to tell you that. Now, if you're not willing to forgive, I'm going to send sickness and pain upon your body. And your body's going to waste away. Hey, let me tell you, the answers are all in this book. These answers are in this book. They waste away to skin and bones. They are at death's door. The angels of death wait for them. Can you just see this death angel walking up and say, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting.
Go away.
I'm trying to make this as real as it can be. I mean, am I reading this right out of God's Word?
Yes, sir.
But it don't stop right there. But if, oh, I love this. But if a special messenger from heaven, now you got to find this guy or gal. You got to find him. And let me tell you, there's not many of them around. You got to find them. But boy, it says, but and if a special messenger from heaven is there to intercede or to pray for a person to declare that he is upright. Now what happens if you don't find... You know what that man told me that come in here? Vernon, that was his name, wasn't it? Vernon Cannon, that was his name. He said, I have prayed for my wife for the last 3 weeks. And he said, I have prayed and we have prayed and we believed and nothing happened. His wife said, it's time to go to Dallas. It's time to go somewhere where there's women and men that can pray the prayer of faith. A special messenger that has set aside her life or his life to walk in obedience to God's Word, to spend the time with God, that will God will hear your prayer. And when you find that man or that woman, and unfortunately today, there is not very many of us out here that are walking there. We all ought to be walking there. I didn't walk there for years and years and years of my life. I didn't walk there. But thank you, Jesus. But I'm getting to the point where I can a little bit now in these later years.
Amen.
I'm not nowhere where I want to be. I mean, you know, whenever it comes to the steps to get where I want to be, I feel like I've taken this first little tiny baby step. I'm up about 6 inches high, and the goal is infinity. Somebody said, I want to get where you are. I said, well, man, I ain't very high up. You know, but let's all shoot for the, like Jesus. Let's all shoot to be just exactly like Jesus. He's our goal. We know that goal's available too, but unfortunately none of us have reached that yet. But that's where we want to be. So when we get there, then whenever she came with her faith and I had the privilege to touch her in the name of Jesus, I can only tell the King how much I love Him and praise Him for allowing me to see Him move when I touched that woman standing right there the other day and completely take away her pain and heal her. Don't that make you feel great? When you get to pray that kind of prayer and see God honor your prayer, you think, oh, Lord, Lord, help me to get further, Lord, where I can teach these. I don't want to stop here, Lord. I want to go on. But if a special messenger from heaven is there to intercede for a person, just think, but if. A special messenger is there. One that's paid the price. One that's walked. Just like Sharon. She paid the price. She's walked with God the last few years. And when she prayed that prayer of faith for that woman that had been down for 10 years, she said, God instantly healed me. Isn't that awesome? Oh, we serve a wonderful Jesus, Sharon. Doesn't it make walking holy and obedient to His Word worth everything? You're that special messenger that was sent from God that's learned how to walk with Him and to pray the prayer of faith. Why have a church full of women and men like her? We ought to all be like that. But she spent that time with God. She's paid that price. But we have several of them in this church that are like that. Several of you. I'm just pointing out Sharon because she just got this great and awesome answer. Just last week, we got Tuesday night, we got this praise report. It's wonderful. Then it says, if you're there to intercede and to declare that He is upright, God will be gracious and say, set him free. Why, when God says set you free, that good news, brother.
Amen.
That's good news, isn't it, Benjamin? Do not make him die, for I have found a ransom for his life. Oh, man, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that the Lord Himself, I'm thinking as I come to church today, I'm worshiping and praising the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, thank you. I mean, last night I read the whole, almost the entire book of 1 Kings and part of 2 Kings. And I mean, the more I went, I think, oh, God, Lord, them guys didn't have Jesus. And every time they sin, if we have time today, we're going to read a little about some of those problems that those men had and what happens when you don't obey God. But today, the same thing happens when we don't obey God. But today we have a special messenger, one that's upright, Jesus, the Holy One. And when we can pray the prayer of faith and go through Jesus, we can get him to change. And let's see what he says here. For I have found a ransom for his life. Then his body will become as healthy as a child, firm and youthful again. Whoa, don't you like that? After you pray and intercede, and the Lord, he says, I have found a ransom for his life. Then his body will become as healthy as a child's, firm and youthful again. Doesn't that sound good?
Amen.
You know, put that meat back on there. And make it be nice and firm. You know, praise God. You know, it's not old and wore out. It's young, he says.
Amen.
He'll renew you. Young flesh. You know, woo, glory to God. I mean, you can do some things when you're young. Look what he says. When he prays to God, this is a great one. After all this, when he prays to God, he will be accepted. Hey, if you're not accepted when you come to the throne of grace, you're in big trouble. And God will receive him with joy and restore him to good standing. He will declare to his friends, now listen to this, close. This man declared to his friends and he says, I sinned. Why was he sick? He had sinned. And what had God done, first of all, try to get his attention? He'd come to you in dreams and visions, and he's talking to you, and he terrifies you with all kinds of stuff and everything, and you don't change a thing. Now, after he does all those things, what was it came upon you next? Sickness and disease. Remember, God just don't put sickness and disease upon you when you mess up the first time. He's gracious. You mess up and he says, you need to listen to me. You hear a little voice says, you're not supposed to do that. And you think, oh, well, that's just one of my own thoughts. Every one of you heard this voice. Every one of you know what I'm talking about. But many of you are just like me. You heard that voice and you didn't obey that voice. And so then he sends dreams and visions in the night. And you thought, oh, well, then he sends those terrifying dreams and visions, and you don't change still. Wow. And he says, okay, now then it's time for me to send sickness and disease upon your body. I'm going to get your attention. It's just like the young man that was here one time, and he said, Pastor, he said, a few years ago, God came to me and said, I've only heard that voice a couple of times, but he said, God came to me and said, son, I've called you to be one of my preachers. He said, I heard a voice within me. I just heard him say, I've called you to be a preacher of my word. He said, I looked back at God and I said, God, there ain't no way. I mean, you have scraped the bottom of the barrel and there ain't no way I could ever be a preacher. No, God, I can't preach your word. He said, I never heard another word. I thought it was over. He said, a year later, I was in a hospital, and a doctor walked up and said, I'm sorry, sir, but what you had about 2 or 3 weeks left to live, and it's all over. He said, I'm middle-aged. He said, I look up and I say, God, I got to have some help. Lord, please. And he said, the Lord says, oh, have I got your attention now? What do you mean, Lord? got my attention. He said, you remember a year ago I called you to preach and you turned me down. You said no. Well, he said, God, I can't be a preacher. He said, I never call anybody to do anything I don't empower them. He said, you just refused me. So he said, since you refused to do what I asked you to do, I don't need you, so I'm going to cut your tree down. I'm going to take you out. Who was going to take him out? God. Sure, the death angel. God says, okay, death angel, go over there and get him. So that angel goes over and sits right next to him and said, I'm waiting for you to die. I'm waiting, and I'm going to take you somewhere. I mean, that's true. These things are there. These beings are here. He said, Lord, I'll repent. I'll preach. I'll do anything. Just let me live. Oh, he said, you will. He said, yes, Lord, I'll preach. I'll do anything. From now on, I'll do anything you tell me to do. He said, never heard another word from the Lord. But he said, in 1 hour, I felt so great. I got up on that bed. He said, wow, I feel good. Dr. Gibbons said, what more? You look different. And he said, they done a complete test on me, and there was not one single thing wrong with me. And he said, they released me from that hospital. And I said, what are you doing now? He said, I'm preaching the Word of God. That's what I'm doing. Amen. Do you think the King can get our attention? He calls you to do something. You better do what he says. I mean, I don't, if the King says, turn the jump. I mean, if I was to hear a voice that jump, man, I'd jump as high as I could jump. And as I said, Lord, this high enough, I'm trying to get as high as I can. I don't know why I'm having to jump, but you said jump, Lord, I'm jumping. I mean, I want to do what the King says. When he speaks to me, I want to be obedient to do what he says. You know why I want to be obedient? Because I don't want the sickness and disease to come upon me. I don't like it, do you? I mean, just think, this is not the first thing he done. He had sent all this visions, dreams, and people and everything to tell you what to do, to walk in love, to forgive, to do everything. He said, nope. I'm not just like that guy standing up here that night. He had a brain tumor. I said, you know, this thing didn't just come upon you undeserved. I said, how's your walk with God? No, he said, it's okay. I said, well, how's your walk with your wife? The woman standing right beside him. I said, just your wife, yeah. I said, how's your walk with her? He said, okay. I looked over at her and I said, how's your walk with your love walk with him? And she started crying. I said, there's something wrong here. I found out he had a grudge against her for something, and he said, I am not going to forgive her. I said, you know, you are on such dangerous ground. I said, that's why you got that brain tumor, and if you don't forgive her, I'm going to guarantee you're going to die. I said, if you die in that unforgiveness, you ain't going to heaven. You're going to go straight to hell. He said, look, Buster, I am washed in the blood of Jesus, and there ain't nothing going to keep me out of heaven. I said, you know, Jesus said, if you don't forgive from your heart your brothers, neither will I forgive you. And I said, you show up at the throne of grace one day and you're not forgiven. He's going to say, who are you? He said, well, I'm Thurman Scrivener. Oh, you were the guy that held that grudge against your wife down there on earth. Well, yeah, but God, she did this. He said, I don't care what she did. I told you to forgive, and now because you didn't forgive her, into outer darkness with her weeping and gnashing of teeth, you're going to hell forever. I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to put him to the test. I'm going to forgive everybody. I don't care what you do to me. I had a man tell me one time, he walked in my office, he said, Thurman Scrivener, I have seen you and observed you the last few years, and I believe if a man walked in here and was mad at you and grabbed you by the shirt and punched you right in the mouth, knocked you over the backwards, you'd get up and say, hey, brother, let's talk about this and see what's going on. He said, you wouldn't even fight back, would you? I said, absolutely not. I'd get up and I'd say, hey, let's get back in the love walk, because there ain't nothing. I mean, it ain't worth it, is it, Ernest? I mean, it ain't worth it. Hey, I don't want to die and go to hell because of anybody else. Hey, ain't nothing nobody can do to me. I can't forgive them. You know, I can forgive them. Jesus forgave me. So, I mean, good grief. What am I supposed to do? He told me, forgive. And if I don't, he's going to send the death angel to pick me up after I'm in suffering and pain and disease. And it's not going to be when I get sick. When you read these scriptures, you got to realize he's already warned you and warned you and warned you. How many people do you know that got into unforgiveness or something? It took 5 or 10 years before the sickness and disease come up on them. We ministered to a woman just like this the other day. They brought her from New Mexico in a van and brought her to a hotel room in Denton. And we went by Friday before the healing school. And Cheryl and I went into the room with a woman that was exactly like that. A young woman, too. How old was she, honey?
Early 30s,
and she weighed 80 pounds. Her little arms was bone. Her little legs were bone. And guess what? We found out, Cheryl was the one that got it done. She found out this woman had an unforgiveness toward her mother. She repented. We prayed the prayer of faith for her. She got off of her oxygen immediately. And the next day, or 2 days later, Monday, they brought her, actually that was on Friday when we did, so it was Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday, they brought her by the Minister Center before they took her back, and she hadn't been on oxygen anymore, and she's feeling good. And the other day, she wrote us a letter and told how wonderful she was doing. And she's, although I don't know what she's doing for a living, but she sent $300 in the offering, in the envelope, saying, "Praise God for your ministry. You Amen. Saved my life." She said, "I'm doing great." You know, when people are on their deathbed and they're dying, and you tell them what's wrong and they do what God says, you intercede for them and He starts putting the meat back on them and they don't need oxygen and they see their stuff getting stronger every day. Hey, they know they run into somebody that's really serving the King.
Amen.
And they don't mind. They don't have a problem sending you money to support your ministry. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, think of the people that we pray for. Karen, that little girl you prayed for, I wonder how many people prayed for her in her life. See, you told her the truth. You told her what her sin was. You told her what she had to do. And then you had met the criteria to walk holy before God. And when you prayed, you interceded, God accepted your prayer. How many people do you know? Oh, well, I'll just tell you now that Sharon and I were talking here. When Sharon came to me 3 years ago, she was sick and afflicted every way in the world. She told me, she said, "I had been prayed for by 100 people and nothing has ever changed." I told her, "You've done it all wrong." I said, "First of all, you've not repented of your sins." And so I had her repent of her sins. Then I told her, I said, "You've never come to God on behalf of His Word." And we found the scripture and we stood on it. I said, "Then nobody's ever prayed for you in faith, but I'm going to pray for you in faith and I'm going to guarantee you the King of the universe is going to heal you." And He did. And today, that girl, which had everything wrong with her, don't have a thing wrong with her.
Amen.
And now she can pray that same prayer of faith for somebody else.
Amen.
Totally changed your life, hadn't it, Sharon? Totally changed her life. And she's come from being sick and afflicted and tormented, and she was only sick and afflicted and tormented for like 30 years.
Wow.
Only 30. Only 30. 30 years with incurable back problems and everything. Now then down to a brain tumor, arm won't work, hip won't work, allergies and everything else, and I call her my basket case. But boy, she ain't no basket case now.
Amen.
I mean, she is completely, totally healed and delivered. But see, when we get this word in us and we find out what causes sickness and disease and we get people to repent of their sins, and if we're walking obedient to the word, when we pray, God hears. And He answers, doesn't He? And He shows up. You know, I was just telling Dave last night, we were sitting there talking, I said, you know, I went to a conference at DFW Airport a few years ago to a great man of God that preaches eschatology, end time things. I went to one a little bit yesterday, but that made it fresh on my mind. You know, these things that these prophets that God speaks to that tells them what's going to happen. And God does nothing except He reveals it to His prophets. So God reveals to certain men certain things, and then those men's job is to tell us, and most of us don't listen. But I said, you know, I went to that a little while yesterday, and then I got to thinking I'd already seen virtually everything I heard Him say in an hour and a half. I'd seen it on a video He made a couple of years ago. I thought, well, I've got a lot of things I need to do today. So I just go, and I got to study tonight anyway. So I thought, I'll just leave. And, you know, because I'd heard most of what He was going to say. Everything He said in an hour and a half I was there, I'd already heard Him say it before. So that's why I left. But anyway, I was thinking about that. And I thought, I told Dave last night after I got home, while we were sitting there drinking a cup of tea talking about these things, I said, you know, I went to one of those at DFW Airport with a great man of God that teaches end time things. It wasn't the same man, by another one. And I said, I was listening to him, and I went there one afternoon after work, and I listened for probably 3 or 4 hours. I listened to him, and of course, I'm amazed at all the things God's showing him. And then I thought, I wonder. Now, God has put me into the area of healing. He began to reveal this to me. So I went up to this gentleman. There was probably 100 people at that conference. And so I kind of waited till a lot of the people got through and talking with him. And finally, I caught him off kind of by himself. And I walked up to him and I said, "Sir, I'm Thurman Scrivener. I'm an engineer. I work right down here at DFW Airport. And I have a question. What do you think about healing today?" He said, "Those things went away with the apostles. They don't work anymore." So he said, "If you're getting off in that area," he said, "you need to find something else." I thought to myself, I am glad I listened to God.
Amen.
Instead of a prophet from God. Because some prophets of God can be wrong. But that man didn't have any revelation in healing. God didn't give it to him. He had no knowledge of it. See, God don't give everybody. See, the eschatology he was talking about, he was talking way over my head. You know, I couldn't even go where he was talking. I'm just listening, trying to, you know, glean a little something here and there. That's like some people come to a healing school. When they've been to the person, they leave after me talking 4 or 5 hours, and they say, "I don't see how you can stand up and talk 4 or 5 hours, never even opened the Bible." I said, "Well, I studied it a lot."
Amen.
See? When you get the Word in you like that, and you can teach it in power, then you can walk over and have the faith to lay hands on a little woman and see God instantly healed her. Isn't it wonderful to see God heal people, Ernest? We know He does that, don't we? Well, Ernest is pointing his finger at him. He said, "Right here's my wife." He said, "I prayed for her, and I prayed for her, and I prayed for her." And he said, "Nothing ever happened." Had she had a tumor in her stomach for 15 years. Is that right? Or wherever it was. Somewhere in her body, she had a tumor for 15 years. She didn't realize a little grudge she got against somebody way back yonder. Oh, it was him. Ernest did a little something he shouldn't have done, and she got a grudge, and it brought a tumor in her body. And they came, and I said, "If you'll repent of your sins..." And they repented. And the reason they repented was because they just brought their granddaughter just recently, and she had breast cancer. And she repented of her sin. We prayed for her, and God healed her almost instantly. And so a week or two later, when Esther came back, she said, "I've had this thing for 15 years. I'm ready to get it gone." So I asked them both to repent of all their sins. They did. I prayed for her. Next Sunday, Esther came back to church, and it ain't never been there since. Now, hey. The Jesus we serve, when we do it His way, He's awesome, isn't He? He's awesome. So you've got to step into this world of faith. You've got to walk into God kind of love. That's what we've got to do to make these things work for us. Walk in love. The old devil say, "Oh, but just think what He did to you." Well, it don't matter what He did to you, does it? It ain't worth having a tumor for 15 years, is it? No. So you forgive him and do it God's way. "Lord, I forgive that guy. I love that guy." And now that you've learned it, you're going to love that woman too, ain't you, Ernest? Yeah, he's going to love her just like Jesus told him to in the Word. And in fact, He said, "Husbands, love your wives like I love the church, and you'd be willing to give your life for that woman." You say, "Okay, I'll help you do anything." She says, "Good, I sure do need you to go in and wash a load of clothes for me." He said, "I ain't got time to do that. That's your job." Yeah, you better not do it like that. You better not do it like that. You might be sick next. I don't know about you, but I don't like this sickness he's talking about. And it didn't. He said he sent it. God said he sent it. But I love it when he says, after we pray to God, he will be accepted, and God will receive him with joy and restore him to good standing. He will declare to his friends, "I have sinned, but it was not worth it. I have sinned, but it wasn't worth it. I don't like his sickness and disease on my body. God rescued me from the grave. And now my life is filled with light. Is that where you want to walk? That's where I want to walk. I want my life filled with light. I want this flesh to be strong and firm. When you reach up and get a hold of this, I want to be able to pick up whatever I want to pick up. I got to tell you a little story right here. All of you get a good laugh out of this. The day after the ice storm, we decided it was such a beautiful day. I thought, you know, I need to work on my instrument approaches. And so we're going to go out to one of the airplanes and we're going to get in it. And Dave and I, we downloaded all these instrument approaches. And some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But these instrument approaches they make, for the first time in my life, used to when I was an instrument pilot, I did everything. And Ty, he don't understand how I did this. He said, how did you do this? I mean, how did you know how far you were? I said, you got a map and you take a plotter and you draw up and you say, it's 17 miles across there. I'm doing 100 miles an hour. And your little computer, hand-operated job you do, you say, okay, at this speed, it's going to take me this many minutes to get here. You time yourself. And then you use radials. And Ty said, I don't see how you did this. I said, that's back in the days when we were real pilots, you know. Today, it's so simple. It's unbelievable how simple it is today. So we got this new plate that works with our GPS that when we pull up a plate, an approach plate, you see a little tiny blue airplane wherever you are. You calibrate the plate, and you see yourself on that plate. So, I mean, you don't have to know. You just fly to the initial approach fix. You make the procedure turn and come back in and go down, and you watch your instruments, and no radios of no kind. You can fly a beautiful ILS with no outside radios and come down and land right on the numbers. It's fantastic. So I thought, we need to go practice that a little bit. It's been a long time since I've done this kind of stuff. So I said, the snow was yesterday, but today it's clear, although it's cold, ice and snow everywhere. It's a beautiful day. Let's go fly. So we go out there, and of course, it is melting and everything, and the airplane is fairly heavy, you know. So Dave gets a hold of one prop, and we start pulling it out, and of course, there's water, everything, and of course, the gravel, all those gravel, it's a little bit harder to pull than it was on dry ground. I will have to say. I am pulling with all of my might on that tow bar, back at an angle like this, really digging in. And we're coming in the airplane. I said, come on, Dave, hurry, let's get it so we can get across this. And we're going, and I'm pulling as hard as I can, and I get right there to the edge of that, and there's a sheet of ice under it. Both feet go down, and I fall flat down, and I bring that tow bar down. A piece of it knocks in my leg. A piece of it knocks the corner off my elbow, and the airplane's running over me. I'm looking up watching this big beast come over the top of me. Dave is over there trying to drag me out from under this thing, and I'm trying to get out from under it. And I'm laying in an inch of ice water from here to here. It's time to grumble and complain, right? No. Lord, I praise you and thank you. No grumbling and complaining here. Dave helped get me out from under that thing, and then we get the airplane on out there, get it on the asphalt. And I said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I didn't hurt nothing. I jerked off my coat, and I jerked off my T-shirt, and I stripped down to my britches. And I said, Dave, take my T-shirt apart that's dry on the front side and wipe me off all of what you can. And then he took his outer shirt off and gave it to me, and he said, here. I said, we're going flying anyway if I have to go without a shirt. We're going flying. So we went out and flew till 30 minutes after dark. We done approaches and everything, and we just had a ball praising the king the whole time. And then when we got back, I got home, and I throwed everything into the dryer just to let it dry. You know, I thought, Lord, thank you that I got a dryer. Thank you that I didn't get hurt. When Cheryl came in that night, she said, how'd your day go? I said, it was great, great. I said, I kind of fell down out there, you know, trying to get the airplane. Fell down? What do you mean? I said, well, I slipped on that, fell flat down on my back, pulled the tow bar down on top of me. She said, I was getting ready to go to bed. She said, let me look at you. I said, what do you mean? She said, you probably got a great big bruise on your backside. I said, woman, don't you. No, that's not the, okay, honey, I love you. But I said, don't make that confession. I have no bruises on my backside. Well, she ain't going to believe till she looks. So she looked, she said, you're right, you don't have to see anything. I said, now then, if you see no bruises on me, I do have a knock off of my elbow right here where that tow bar hit me as it went down, and I do have a little ding right here on my leg, but I said, they're going to be okay. I said, see, you were looking for something big, and I just had those little bitty tiny things. But even falling down in the water and the ice and everything else, I said, Lord, I praise you and thank you for another test. I worship you for another test. No grumbling and complaining here. And we get out there and the airplane works perfect. Everything. We flew approaches for 3 hours, had a great time. I said, Lord, I praise you for the privilege to live in the abundant life that you give. You know, I mean, it's wonderful to live in the abundant life that Christ has given. To be able to live in a place. But all it takes is obedience. Walk in obedience to His Word. Walk in love. If you walk in love, or if you step out of that love walk just a little, what does He say He will do? What did He say He will do there in verse 14? But God speaks again and again. He speaks, not once, but again and again, though people do not recognize it. He's speaking to you. Those little thoughts are coming to your mind. Don't go there. Don't do this. Or go do this. Walk in love. Do this. And you're thinking, no, those are just thoughts. No, those thoughts are coming from God. He's speaking to you again and again, trying to get you to walk holy and obedient to His Word. You'll say, you know, somebody come up and say, how much time are you spending with God lately? Well, not enough. Well, then if you're not enough, then what should you do immediately about that? You should repent and change that and start spending that time with Him. You know, I worked on the Word last night till I don't know what time it was. We finally went to bed. It had to be 3 or 4 o'clock this morning. But I was still in my office working. Cheryl was in there working on all this other stuff. And I know it was at least 3 or 4 when I finally went to bed. But this morning I set my alarm at 9:30. And at 9:30 I was already awake when the alarm went off. And I lay there for another hour and just worshipped and praised the King. I didn't get out of bed. I just said, Lord, I want to praise you for this beautiful bed. I want to praise you that I have a little house to live in that's so nice and warm and so comfortable. Lord, I want to thank you and praise you that you're my healer, my deliverer, my provider. I want to thank you that you're God. Lord, I know how you love for me to worship and praise you, so I just want you to know I love you, Lord. I worship you and I praise you. You're my Lord and my God. Wow. But He speaks again and again. Then He speaks in dreams. When the dreams start coming, He's already been speaking to you. Then when the visions start coming, He's really talking to you. He may send a friend by. I've got this sickness and disease in my body. Hey, I know a guy by the name of Thurman Scrivener. He's got a healing ministry. You need to go down. Let's go down and see what he's got to say. A healing ministry? I don't believe in that stuff. You could have been healed. You know it? You could have been healed. God gives men healing ministries. He gives men end-time things. He gives men all kinds of different ministries. Now, He expects us to do the best with what He gives us. But He gives no man everything. No man everything. Just like when that man was speaking about eschatology a few years ago. I can't go there. I do not understand those things. I can't even argue with those people. I don't know. But let me show you something else right here before we take communion. We've got a few minutes. In fact, let me read it out of this one. Let me go to 1 Kings. First Kings 13. I want you to see something here. We'll hit just a little of this. And this is something that really stuck in me when I read this in 1 Kings 13. Now this Jeroboam, he was a pretty bad king. He was not doing things right. He was like a lot of us. You know, he's not doing things right. He's doing things wrong. At the Lord's command, a man of God from Judah went to Bethel, and he arrived there just as Jeroboam was approaching the altar to offer a sacrifice. Then, at the Lord's command, he shouted, this is the man of God, O altar, altar. Now, this man of God, the prophet, is speaking to the altar. This is what the Lord says. A child named Josiah will be born into the dynasty of David. On you, he will satisfy the priests from the pagan shrines, sacrifice the priests from the pagan shrines who come here to burn incense, and human bones will be burned on you. This come right out of this prophet's mouth. This was God speaking. That same day, the man of God gave a sign to prove his message. And he said, the Lord has promised to give this sign. This altar will split apart, and the ashes will be poured out on the ground. Look what the king did now. King Jeroboam was very angry at this man of God. King Jeroboam was very angry with the man of God for speaking against the altar, because he had built the altar. Jeroboam had built the altar. He's not supposed to be building these altars, but he did. So he pointed at the man and shouted, seize that man. This is the king talking to the man of God. Seize that man. But instantly the king's hand became paralyzed in that position. Now, which one of these men serving God, which one of them's not? Pretty obvious, isn't it? Seize that prophet. Get him right now. That prophet, that man right there just told me, and I don't like what he said. Get him! And then he says, what's wrong with my hand? It don't work. Wonder who locked his hand like that, Benjamin. But instantly the king's hand became paralyzed in that position, and he couldn't pull it back. At the same time, a wide crack appeared in the altar. And the ashes poured out. Just as the man of God had predicted in his message from the Lord. Does this sound like a man of God? Does this really sound like a prophet of God? I mean, it really does, doesn't it? I mean, you think this has got to be a real man of God. He's talking. The king cried out to the man of God. Now listen to this. You talk about the mercy of God. Listen to this. Please ask the Lord, your God. Obviously, he's not mine. But see, he just seen something happen here. I mean, I'm coming against you. You're the man of God. And I'm coming against you, and I'm the king. And I say, get that man. Stop him right now. And bam. All of a sudden, my arm's locked. I can't do nothing. And then the altar splits open, the ashes pour, just like he said. Woo! That's a pretty good sign, isn't it? The king cried out to the man of God, please ask the Lord, your God, to restore my hand again. So the man of God prayed to the Lord. Now, wait a minute. I know some men today say, huh, okay. Yeah, let me walk on. Let me just let your arm stay like that, right? Do you know men that like to do that to somebody that done something like that to them? Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for doing that to him. Just leave him like that the rest of the day. So the man of God prayed to the Lord, and the king's hand became normal again. Now, see, that's the kind of man you want to be associated with. Does it sound like this man's an obedient man of God? Okay, listen a little further. Then the king said to the man of God, and it sounds only normal, come to the palace with me and have something to eat, and I will give you a gift. Because he recognized he's a man of God. But the man of God said to the king, Even if you gave me half of everything you own, I would not go with you. I would not eat any food or drink any water in this place, for the Lord gave me this command. The Lord says, you go over there to Bethel and you tell them that, but you don't stay there. You don't eat or drink nothing over there. You go over and deliver what I tell you to do, and then you come back another way. You must not eat any food or drink any water while you're there, and you must not return to Judah by the same way you came. You got to take another route. Does God do strange things? But who told him to do this? You think the king means what he said? So he left Bethel and went home another way. As it happened, there was an old prophet living in Bethel. An old prophet. A man of God. I mean, he was really a prophet. And his sons came home and told him what the man of God had done in Bethel that day. They also told him what he had said to the king. The old prophet asked him, which way did he go? So they told their father which road the man of God had taken. Quick, saddle my donkey, the old man said. And when they had saddled a donkey for him, he rode after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak tree. He stopped to take a break. He's on the way home, different route, doing everything God told him to do. The old prophet asked him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? Yes, he replied, I'm him. Then he said to the man of God, come home with me and eat some food. No, I cannot. He replied, I am not allowed to eat any food or drink any water here in this place. For the Lord gave me this command. Who gave him this command? The Lord. You must not eat any food or drink any water while you're here, and do not return to Judah by the same way you came. But the old prophet answered, I am a prophet too. Just as you are. And an angel. Now this is where you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. And an angel gave me this message from the Lord. Bring him home with you and give him food to eat and water to drink. Now then, you know, if God tells you to do something and you heard him tell you to do something and somebody else walks up and says, but an angel told me to tell you, Ernest, you're supposed to do this. Hey, let me tell you. I have all kinds of people come up and tell me these kind of things. I said, look, I got this revelation from God. And if God, I had a man come by the other day and he wanted to lay hands on me and pray for me. He drove out and he said, I am a man of God and I've come here and I walk in an anointing with God and I want you to walk in the same anointing I do, and I come and I want to lay hands on you and pray for you. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I mean, immediately in my spirit, immediately I heard something say, no. No. I said, sir, no offense, but I'm very particular who I let lay hands on me and pray for me. I've learned my lesson the hard way. So I said, no offense to you. I'm grateful you're a man of God. But I said, if God wants to give me the anointing he's given you, he'll give it to me and he'll tell me, and I don't have to have somebody else come by and tell me about it. I work for the king directly. So I didn't let him pray for me. I mean, especially after I just read this. This is scary stuff. Because look what happened to this man. But the old man was lying. He was lying. He was a prophet. He was a prophet from God. He definitely walked in God's anointing. He was a prophet of God. But right here, he lied to this man. And the scripture says he lied. And he says, so after the prophet heard this, he thought this guy's telling the truth. An angel told him, but God told him not to do something. But the angel, he lied. So they went back together, and the man of God ate some food and drank some water at the prophet's house. Did he just break what God told him to do?
Yes, he did.
Then while they were sitting at the table, a message from the Lord came to the old prophet. Now wait a minute. This is a guy just lied. Why would God speak out of his mouth? He can do it, can't he? He cried out to the man of God from Judah. This is what the Lord says. You have defiled the Lord's message. And you have disobeyed the commands of the Lord that your God gave you. You came back to this place and you ate food and drank water where he said you are not to eat and drink. Because of this, your body will not be buried in the grave of your ancestors. Now, after the man of God had finished eating. I mean, he knew he'd messed up. God spoke out of the other man's mouth. The man had just lied to him. That's why you've got to be careful. Oh, you've got to be careful. After the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet, he saddled his own donkey for him. And the man of God started off again. But he was traveling along. A lion came out and killed him. His body lay there on the road with the donkey and the lion standing beside. People came by and saw the body laying on the road and the lion standing beside it. And they went and reported it in Bethel, where the old prophet lived. When the old prophet heard the report, he said, "It is the man of God who disobeyed the Lord's command. The Lord has fulfilled his word by causing the lion to attack and kill him." Who sent the lion?
The Lord.
Why did the Lord send the lion? Because he disobeyed. Who gave him the command to not eat food or drink over there? Who lied to him? Another prophet of God. And what did that prophet say he had heard? Heard an angel. You can get messages from angels, but I'd much rather get mine from the Lord.
Amen.
You know, now then, all of my life, every time anything has been, that any time God has spoken to me and told me something to do, it's always been Him and never an angel. I've seen three angels, and I've seen angels do things to help me. I've seen them do physical things, but I've never had one tell me to do something. And if an angel comes and tells me to do something, I'm going to have to have something from God. He's going to have to say, "Son, this angel's mine. Listen to him." He told, there's other places in the Scripture where he said, "I'm sending my angel. Hear him." Okay, God, you're telling me you're sending me an angel. Hear what he has to say. Okay, whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it because you just told me you're sending an angel. I've heard your voice and you said it. But this says here, "Then the prophet said to his sons, 'Saddle a donkey for me.' So they saddled a donkey, and he went out and found the body lying in the road. The donkey and the lion were still standing there beside it, for the lion had not eaten the body, nor attacked the donkey. So the prophet laid the body of the man of God on the donkey and took it back to the city to mourn over him and bury him. He laid his body in his own grave, crying out in grief, 'Oh, my brother.'" Isn't that strange? That men of God will listen to the devil. There was a man of God that listened to the devil. But I wonder how many of us as sons and daughters of God in your life has listened to the devil. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put a blanket coverage starting from this wall to the back. There's not a single one of us in this room that's ever met the criteria that there hadn't been times when the devil comes to our life and we listen to the beast. Every one of us, without exception, those thoughts have come to your mind and he's deceived you and you've went the wrong path. I mean, just like when Esther and Ernest were talking about them, whenever he done something to her and she got an unforgiveness, both of them listened to the devil. Wasn't neither one of them listening to God? They didn't know how to listen to him. But it brought sickness upon her body, and years later when she found the truth and got into forgiveness and got right, and the prayer of faith were prayed for, a 15-year tumor went away.
Amen.
And now it's easy to walk in love after you find the principles, isn't it, Ernest?
Yes,
isn't it, Esther? I mean, you ain't going there no more, are you? Ain't no way. I ain't going there. You ain't going. Because there's a consequence when we disobey God, isn't there? There's a consequence. So now then, we're going to take communion. We've got it all laid out back here. Whoever's going to help, James and Dave and Scott and whoever back there, y'all get the bread and the juice and get ready to pass it out. As we start passing out communion, I want you to stop and examine your life. This God that we serve is a mighty God. He's an awesome God, but He demands that we be obedient to Him. The difference between back in the day of the kings, that man disobeyed, he had nothing. I mean, all he could do now is die. But praise God for the blood of Jesus. He's made peace with us through the blood of His Son. Do you know that it makes no difference what you and I do today? It makes no difference how bad we've been or whatever we've done, if we come to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us today because of the blood of Jesus, He forgives us and washes us clean. Boy, what a privilege to serve a God that's made peace with man through the blood of His Son. So, I mean, every one of us have sinned. Every one of us have failed short. So when we look back at, many of you sitting here in this room, we talked about Esther today, we talked about Sharon today, and my Cheryl, about how they had sickness and disease upon their body, and how when they come to the Lord, how it had brought devastating things in their life. But when they come to the Lord and ask Him to forgive them, He did. And He cleansed them and made them whole, just as if they had never sinned. Now it's up to us to continue to walk in that love with each other. Now we walk in love with each other. We take the past and we throw it away and we get away from the past. We don't ever let the past come back up. Because Jesus said, I'm the one that puts your sins as far as the east is from the west, and I never remember them again. So you don't remember them again. When you ask God to forgive you, you say, I'm going to tell you the sin that I have noticed recently that brings more sickness and disease into the church than any other one sin is breaking the first commandment. We don't put God first. You know, we put Him on the back burner. Oh, we come to church on Sunday. We give Him Sunday, maybe, you know, part of Sunday. Unless it's Cowboys Day, you know, and that day we either stay at home or we come to church, but we've got to leave early, you know. And for the church that comes at 2 o'clock, forget that church. We ain't going to be there on Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 because the Cowboys are playing on TV from 2 to 4. Well, if that's who your God is, them Cowboys, you're going to be sick sooner or later. It's going to bring sickness and disease to your body because you're not putting God first.
Amen.
And He tells you in His Word, you put Me first. In everything you do, when you put Him first, if you haven't been doing that, all you need to do is ask Him, Father, forgive me in the name of Jesus. And if I'm not spending enough quiet time with You, if I'm not reading Your Word, if I'm not studying, then Lord, I ask You to forgive me for not doing it. And Lord, I will spend more quality time with You. But Lord, as I go during the course of the day, I'll stop and praise You. As I'm driving down the road, I'll praise You. When I go into a restaurant to eat with my friends, I'll stop and praise You over my food. I'll not be ashamed of You. I'll praise You in that restaurant. You know, some people, like a group here a while back, I was with a man, and he said we were going to go in with some preachers. And I told him, I said, you know, let's just start eating. And he said, well, let's pray over our food first. And they said, oh, we prayed in the parking lot before we come in because we was afraid we might offend somebody. Now, I don't want one of them men praying for me, for sure. You want to get in that restaurant, you want to praise God when they bring the water to the table. When they bring the tea, you want to pray over it. When they bring the salad, you want to pray over it. And don't pray silently. You know, give me a break. So, would you all mind bowing your head? Okay, now you can eat. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless this water in Jesus' name. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless this tea. Lord, they brought this salad. Father, we bless this salad in the name of Jesus. Oh, they brought a refill for my water. Let's stop. Father, in Jesus' name, would You bless that refill? Put Him first. Let everybody around know what you're doing. Put Him first if you want to be well. Now, you don't have to do that. You can be disobedient like the prophet was. God told him not to eat and drink in that country, and he ate and drank. And what did it do? Did it bring sickness and disease upon him? Hey, Tom, it killed him. God sent a lion to eat him. He killed him. And why did God send that lion? Because of disobedience. Hey, you know, the more you read this book, the more you see this all over the Bible. It's real easy to understand why we're sick and afflicted. Why we don't get our prayers answered. We all want our prayers answered, but we're not willing to pay the price. But it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth it. This piece of bread represents the body of the Savior that came to reconcile us to Himself. Oh, Father, we praise You and thank You that You sent Jesus to do something we couldn't do. We are so grateful for this bread. that this bread is a symbol of the body that's in us. And you said if we eat your body, we have this with you. So, Lord, we want to praise you and thank you for forgiving us of all of our sins. I want to praise you and thank you that by your stripes, which is this bread is striped, by your stripes we are healed. So, Lord, there's healing in communion. And, Lord, I praise you and thank you that you're the healer. All we got to do is repent of our sins and believe, only believe, and we shall see the glory of God. Thank you, Father, for this bread. And thank you for forgiving us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. And the blood. The most powerful thing in the universe is the blood. It washed away all of my unholy, filthy sins and all of yours. And it made us just as if we had never sinned. From the day we get saved, we're not supposed to ever sin again. That was God's plan. He said, if you sin, you have an advocate, Jesus. You can come and confess your sin, and I will be righteous and just to forgive your sin and to restore you to fellowship. But the plan was no sin. We're to walk holy in obedience to His Word. We're to put Him first. And He said, if you will do this, if you will die to sin, and live unto righteousness, in 1 Peter 2:24, then by my stripes you're healed. You don't have to be sick. You can be well. When you walk into God's kind of love, the Word really works. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let somebody say, you know you're just an unworthy sinner saved by grace, and you sin all day, every day, so you can't walk holy before God. Don't you believe that lie. That's not from God. That's not the Word. When you walk holy in obedience to God's Word, you can walk in divine health. I love it. This gentleman right here that I just talked about a while ago when I pointed my finger, he just told me he's 77 years old and he don't get sick. He's walking in obedience to God's Word. He looks pretty good to be 77, doesn't he? Hey, you don't have to be old just because you're 77, right, brother? Amen. You can run and play and do great things and teach the Word of God and do all kinds of things. You can praise God. And He does it because of this blood.
Amen.
He knows this Jesus as Lord and Savior. I might say today, after we drink this, if you don't know this Savior, you need to know Him. And you'll need to come up here and we'll lead you to Him. And if you've got any sickness or disease in your body, you come up here, we'll pray for you. And the King will hear our prayer and He will deliver you and He will set you free. But it's up to you to walk holy before Him so you don't have that sickness and disease come back upon you. Father, thank you for the blood. Thank you that it washes all of our sin away. In order for any sin, known or unknown, we don't even know about, we repent of everything. And we want to walk holy and in obedience to your Word. And thank you for this blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Be careful who you listen to this week. Even people that say they're prophets of God. We just read a story about a man that was a prophet of God that lied to another prophet of God and it cost the second one his life. Listen, be careful. Study the Word. And if God, remember this, if there's nothing else we get from that story in 1 Kings, if God tells you to do something, I don't care what anybody else tells you to do, don't change what God told you to do. I don't care if somebody comes up to you and says, oh, but three angels have come to me in the last 3 weeks and told me all this. This is what you're supposed to do. And you said, but God told me to go here. Let me tell you one last story about a man that I know. And one day I'm going to have this man in our church to tell this testimony. The Lord spoke to him one morning and told him to go do something. And man, he's on the way. And another preacher sees him, and he said, hey, where are you going? He said, well, the Lord just told me to go down to so-and-so to do this. He said, but you know, I'm fixing to go up here and go for a horseback ride. Let's go for a horseback ride when we get back. Then you can go do that. He said, no. The Lord told me to go do this. He said, come on.
A few minute horseback ride won't hurt you.
And so the man of God, two preachers. The second preacher, he said, okay, I'll take a few minutes. I need to go do what God told me to do. But okay. And he goes around and gets on his horse. They get him out of the trailer. He goes around, puts his foot in the stirrup, swings up on the horse. And the minute he gets the horse rears straight up, he falls off the back. The horse falls over and falls right on his leg and breaks both bones right in two right there. Did he have to suffer that, Sharon? He didn't have to, did he? What did he have to do? If he'd have done what God told him, he would not have gotten that broke leg. But he stood by faith anyway without a single doctor, did not go to the doctor, did not get that leg set, set it himself. And it took about 3 months, and God finally healed that leg when he got to the point where he looked down one day, and it was gangrene in that leg. He was walking on that leg. He said, I don't have a broke bone. But yet they saw it. They saw the bone sticking out the side whenever he pushed them back in. He said, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. And 3 months later, after the gangrene blisters come, he was miraculously healed on a motorcycle riding down the road. He stood and asked God to forgive him, and he did. But I'm trying to tell you that if he'd have done what God told him, he would have never had to went through that test. God told him, just like he told that prophet, don't eat any food or drink over here. And don't even come back the same way you went, go another way to come back home. Now, God tells us to do things, we need to start listening to him. If you don't listen to him, just like that prophet, a lion from God came out and killed him because of his disobedience. Wow. We serve an awesome God. He means what he says, doesn't he? Somebody says, I don't believe in God. That's okay. He's alive and well. Father, I thank you and praise you for this wonderful day. I thank you, Lord, for your words. And Lord, we know you're alive and well. The world may not know that, but we do. And Lord, we want to walk holy and obedient to your word. And Lord, the beautiful part about this is when people repent of their sins and do what you say, then we pray for them. And God, you heal them. And we see it happen here every day, every week. Oh, thank you, Lord, for seeing you do the great and mighty things you do. You're a mighty God, the King of Kings. And we love you, Lord. And we want to be about your business, doing everything you say. And Lord, help us this week as we go that we be totally, completely engulfed in you and knowing that you're the King and you've come to give us life and give it to us abundantly. But Lord, we want to praise you and thank you for every second of every day this week. And may we use it for your glory. Now, Father, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.